This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And McAdams Millwright Service. And now, with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here in Ag News on your Friday afternoon. Jule Brawnaugh appears headed for swift Senate approval as the next USDA's deputy secretary after scoring high marks at her Senate Ag confirmation hearing. A Virginia state agricultural chief and former state FSA director and ag dean at VSU, Jule Brawnaugh came before Senate Ag with a sparkling resume and likely historic confirmation.
I know that if confirmed, I will be the first black woman and woman of color to serve as deputy secretary. In 1862, Abraham Lincoln established USDA. In 1864, he called it the People's Department. And I believe it should be just that, the department for all people.
As Brawnaugh committed to work with Secretary Vilsack and the Ag Committee to take on decades of discrimination across USDA. But it was her knowledge of the USDA's inner workings and programs and hitting the right notes on boosting rural economies that won Brawnaugh the highest marks from senators.
Our opportunity for things like clean energy jobs in rural America, you know, supporting renewable fuels, bio-based product development, for example, opportunities to manage our forests and grasslands. And you mentioned broadband infrastructure. There are great opportunities through utilizing USDA programs such as ReConnect.
And when challenged on advocating for producers as part of the climate change solution, not the problem, amid presidential orders.
If I have the opportunity to be confirmed, I will ensure that we keep our farmers, ranchers, and landowners first in discussions and plans to address climate change.
Brawnaugh vowed USDA climate decisions would be voluntary and incentive-based and acknowledged the need to protect CCC funding while creating a new carbon credit program. The Ag Committee passed unanimously, just ahead of Brawnaugh's confirmation hearing, the Climate Solutions Act, empowering USDA to work with producers to develop a carbon credit certification program. Brawnaugh's nomination could be voted either today or early on next week. In other related ag news off Capitol Hill, the White House this week announced the formation of the Interagency Working Group to address worsening drought conditions in the West and ongoing water shortages. The working group will be co-chaired by the Department of the Interior and the Department of Agriculture. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack states, "With our interagency working group, we will collaborate with tribes, agricultural producers, landowners, and rural communities to build regional resilience to drought." Interior Secretary Deb Haaland says, "We are committed to using every resource available to accomplish their goal." The working group will work to identify immediate financial and technical assistance for impacted irrigators and tribes, development of longer-term measures to respond to climate change and build more resilient communities and protect the natural environment will also be a priority, including through President Biden's proposed Americans Jobs Plan and through a recommitment to strengthening the National Drought Resilience Partnership. Formed back in 2013, the NDRP brings together federal agencies to build long-term drought resilience. And in Ag News we told you about yesterday, agriculture as a whole breathed a sigh of relief when EPA Administrator Michael Regan told lawmakers the agency would not go back to the controversial Obama-era waters of the U.S. definitions.
I spent a lot of time on this topic in North Carolina as the DEQ Secretary, and I've met with a lot of the ag industry CEOs on this topic since I've been EPA Administrator. We all believe that the courts weighed in on the Obama rule, and that the courts have weighed in on Trump's navigable waters rule.
Many in agriculture found the Obama-era WOTUS rule to be a far overreach of federal government authority and the source of overly burdensome regulation and oversight. Reagan, the former head of the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, made the comments as part of his 2022 budget request for EPA during a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing. Reagan says he wants to continue discussions with those in agriculture as the agency moves forward.
What I'm pledging to do is begin a stakeholder engagement process involving our ag community, Farm Bureau or ag CEOs, our environmental community, to look at the lessons learned and how we can move forward. And I'm interested in moving forward, not in a ping pong way, but a way that we can provide some certainty to the ag industry.
The EPA administrator said his agency and the U.S. Department of Agriculture are working in tandem to both protect the environment and get farmers engaged in the process.
Where we don't overburden the small farmer, but we also balance the protection of our wetlands and our sounds and estuaries. And so I believe we can do it. I just think we need to have more touch points and conversations. As Secretary Vilsack and I are attached at the hip in terms of a strategy to get this done.
The Rural Water Program is also a topic of conversation. Reagan told lawmakers the EPA wants to do more than just throw money at the problems confronting those in rural areas.
They're facing threats from cybersecurity just as much as they are from climate change. And so we need to build a healthy water infrastructure for economic development reasons as well as for safe drinking water. And that's what we want to do with these resources.
Again, that's Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Reagan. Now in Illinois State Ag News on your Friday, jumping worms are known to be in 23 Illinois counties. Unlike regular earthworms that gardeners welcome, jumping worms are bad for the soil. They look like regular earthworms until late summer or fall when they reach more than 6 inches long. They have what looks like a milky white color, and they wiggle vigorously when they're disturbed. University of Illinois horticulture educator Richard Henschel says spring's too early to identify them.
They hatch from an egg inside a cocoon kind of structure. It'll be into May before that happens, and then usually by June-ish, early July, they're large enough that we can actually see that they're much bigger than the normal earthworm we're used to. And then by fall, September-ish, or September, October, they can be 6-8 inches in length. They're not at all tasty. Birds don't like them. And these worms aren't like one every 3 feet. They're in clusters. They're in groups. And you'll know. The soil will begin to look different. It looks like ground up, it looks like coffee grounds.
The worms may not harm a garden where plants are fed with organic materials that are added from time to time, but they can hurt a forest ecosystem where wild plants don't get a gardener's help. Henschel says for now, removing the giant worms and throwing them in the trash is the best way to get rid of them. There's nothing known to kill them that won't kill good worms, too. In Ag News now from the State Department of Agriculture, the state's Director of Agriculture has now been approved by the State Senate. Jerry Costello Jr. can now drop the acting tag from his title. In a virtual setting hosting the Illinois Ag Legislative Day, Costello says after a little more than a year on the job, he's proud of what the industry and the Illinois Department of Agriculture did to overcome challenges presented by the pandemic.
But there are so many things for us to be proud of. The resilience of ag in Illinois is nothing short of incredible. From avoiding shutdowns in our food supply chain to thinking outside the box when in-person trainings and testings couldn't be done, we at the Department of Agriculture developed an online format that is so efficient it is used as a model by our surrounding states.
Department of Agriculture staffers and members of the FFA packed baskets of Illinois food products that were passed out to lawmakers and staff at the Capitol. And Ag Director Costello says plans are underway for a state fair in southern Illinois after the event in DuQuoin was canceled last year due to COVID. The Benton News reports that Director Costello says the manager of the DuQuoin State Fair and his team are going full bore just like they would any other year, though things might be looking a little different. The DuQuoin State Fair is scheduled for August 27th through the 6th, and the Illinois State Fair in Springfield is also being planned for August 12th through the 22nd. Now moving on into State Ag News now for your Friday. The Central Illinois Food Bank will be having a food giveaway today at 1 p.m. That'll be held at the Cross Church in Carlinville and is open to Macoupin County residents only. Also today is your last chance to donate to the 4x4's 4-H Club of Macoupin County's food drive. That is going on now through tomorrow, Saturday. Items they're collecting include canned goods, soups, macaroni and cheese, peanut butter, jelly, and more. Collection boxes are located at Randy's Market in Gillespie and Benelde, the Benelde Public Library, and Associated Bank in Mount Olive. For more information, call 217-835-2222. And coming up a week from today, the University of Illinois Extension Montgomery County Master Gardeners will be holding their annual Mother's Day Hanging Baskets Sale. Again, that'll start next week on Friday, April 30th from 9 to 6, and next Saturday, May 1st from 9 a.m. until they're sold out. They'll be selling in the parking lot of Brown's Insurance between the Masonic Lodge and the Insurance Agency. Location, 919 South Main in Hillsboro. Proceeds will benefit the Montgomery County Farmer Institute that'll go on later this year. And just in time for Mother's Day, they have those 10-inch premium hanging baskets in assorted colors, sun, and shade varieties. Again, all plants are $15, and that sale will be held next weekend, Friday the 30th and Saturday, May 1st, from 9 to 6 on Friday and 9 a.m. to sold out on Saturday. And that wraps up your Ag News here on a Friday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for your Friday afternoon, April 23rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.